Okay, now, let's see if we can get this working. Now, folks, you gotta bear with me here. We're fighting the microphone. Yes, don't worry. That's a normal sound. That's a good sound. It's a friendly sound, isn't it? Okay, let's see if we can do this. Alrighty. This is what we go through. We'll explain this in a minute, but for right now, I just want to get the theme playing. Okay, now we've gotten some complaints here that the sound is very low. Now here's the deal. Okay, let me get Dash on the phone first. I want to discuss this with him. All right, let's talk about this. Now, Dash, here's the deal.
Yeah, I was listening. It sounds better now. It was louder. I could hear it better.
Okay, well, that's because I have to lean right over the phone. Now, it's either... I can't do it like this all the time, obviously. So, it's either I hook up my old computer every time I do the show.
You know, nobody wants to do that. That's just not fun.
Or, you put up with low sound.
Well, there's got to be some way to be able to make the microphone louder, you know, be able to make your voice louder. What's wrong with that computer?
I have no idea. I asked, first off, let me just say what the problem is. The microphone is built into the monitor. Now, as you know, I upgraded my tower, so now I have this whole new computer with this monitor. And apparently they're not compatible with each other because this microphone refuses to work with this computer. It picks up absolutely nothing. And I had tried all sorts of things. I tried, I made sure that the microphone wasn't muted. I turned up the volume all over the place. And nothing seemed to work. So finally I said, oh, hell with this. I gotta ask Compaq what's going on here because, you know, I have to do the show and I want to make sure that everything's in order. So I email Compaq and they write back and tell me, no, you have to talk to Microsoft. So they give me a link to something that's for voice recognition software or something. It has absolutely nothing to do with me.
Oh, that's great.
So I had no way to fix my microphone. Fortunately, my friend Panther, Nahog, whatever you want to call him, gave me his $10 microphone, which is what I'm using right now.
Yeah, I have a $10 microphone.
So I don't know. You know, I have to lean over this. This is extremely uncomfortable. I'm getting a backache. And plus, I was hoping to play some phone conferences tonight. I had a couple songs that I wanted to play. You know, it was going to be a jovial event. But
let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Have you gone into the options and the properties and all that good stuff?
Oh yeah. That's all been done. And this microphone works, but it's extremely low unless your lips are up against it.
So you try turning the recording balance up and everything like that?
Yeah, that's up all the way.
Oh, I see. Well,
that's up all the way, and my speakers are up to full volume, and full volume really isn't that much with this machine.
Yeah.
I had the same problem, actually, with Windows 98 when I first installed that. I got an update for it, a couple of drivers, I think, and then it eventually became loud, but This one just doesn't seem to want to cooperate.
What, do you have the drivers for your sound card in there?
Well, yeah, I mean, I got all the possible Windows XP updates that I could and put it into this machine, so this is as good as it gets. Now, like I said, you know...
There's your problem right there, man.
What's that?
XP.
Yeah, well, eventually everybody's going to have to update because things are going to stop working for whatever you have now. So, eventually things will work, but you just have to wait, you know, for everything to catch up.
Yeah.
But can people hear me okay?
I could hear you fine on the stream, yeah.
So I just have to get a backache and talk into the microphone this way. See, I could easily hold this microphone up to my mouth and do the whole show, but...
Why couldn't you do that?
Not a damn person would hear you.
Oh, yeah.
Or I could just alternate, but then we couldn't have our discussions like we always do. Or, yeah, I could yell at the top of my lungs.
Yeah, that's always fun.
Now, another possibility is... Well, no, I don't want to do that. I could hold up the phone and just put it by my mouth, but doing that, for some reason, the speakerphone cuts out when I move it around, so... I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know what to do. I mean, I have a 1.1 gigahertz machine here, 512 megs of RAM, and I...
That's what I'm talking about.
I can't even use the microphone.
No, you can't. That's pretty sad.
It is sad, but, I don't know, you know?
I don't know either.
Any suggestions?
Besides the ones I've already suggested, no, not really.
Because, I'll tell you right now, you know, there has to be some sort of decision made, because right now I can go hook up my old computer and get that all started up, you know, and then do the show that way.
That would just be a big hassle every week for you.
It sure would. Or I could get, you know, a new microphone and... You know, you want to get one that's going to work. And how do you know what microphone is good? The one that I had on this monitor was perfect.
Yeah.
But Compaq isn't willing to help me with it. You know, they're sending me to Microsoft. Microsoft sends you the Compaq. So, it's... I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know...
I have to figure something out, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, you know, it's kind of hard to concentrate on the show... You know, when I can't even read off the screen because I have to lean my head over here to talk. See, all right, this is how I would talk normally. Now I'm asking the people in the chat who are listening right now, is it okay? Do I sound good from back here? Because this is where I normally sit to talk. Now if this sounds good.
It sounds good to me. You know, I can hear you.
You can hear me, obviously. You're on the phone, but
yeah.
Does it sound okay from right here? You know, this is what I want to know. So, guys in the chat, please let us know. How do I sound right now?
Yeah.
Now, if they say I sound okay, we should be good. Yeah, Wintermute tells us it's pretty low.
The chat, by the way, is irc.fox.sk, channel HackerMind.
Yes, it is. So, I don't know. It's low, but the volume can always go up. Yeah, but, you know, you shouldn't have to make your... You shouldn't have to make your listeners turn up the volume to hear you, you know?
Yeah.
And I really don't feel like screaming through all these episodes, so... I don't know. Well, let's just get this show done with, and then I'll try to figure out what can be done. I'll try to get as close to this thing as I can. Otherwise, you know, the computer's great. I love it.
Oh, yeah. Who wouldn't?
Yeah, yeah. Well... Okay, Wolfgame says the person on the phone is extremely loud in comparison. Well,
yeah.
Because I could even that out by putting it in the middle, but I gave you the microphone, so...
I'm really loud, and you're really low.
let's see. Hold on. All right, now I have the microphone in the dead center, so it's right in between us. So go ahead and talk, Dash.
Hey, good. So now we're equal, right? Equal?
We should be.
You know?
We should be. Let's see what the listeners have to say.
What they have to say.
Do we always have this many people on our chat?
I don't think so.
You never tell me we do.
Well, we usually don't have this many people in our chat.
Yeah, stop making weird noises. Alright, so Gozer says that we're the same. Okay, well, I apologize for making you guys turn up your volume.
Yeah.
Thanks, Sentius. All right, now, on with the show. I will just have to talk loud, and if anybody thinks I'm weird, well, you probably thought that already, so who cares?
Sounds about right.
Oh, you know what? It's really ironic, but the first topic that I have in the notebook for today is upgrades and other computer problems, because I'm not the only one that's having problems, am I?
No, you're not.
No. Anybody else that we know having problems, Dash?
Yeah.
And who's that?
Me.
You're having trouble?
Yeah,
no,
I was,
not you.
Man. I've been having trouble the past 2 days.
Get out of here. I refuse to believe that.
Yeah, well, I have, so you better believe it.
All right, so what has your trouble been?
All right, my trouble is I got a new CPU and motherboard recently.
Uh-huh.
And the CPU is an AMD Athlon Slot A Thunderbird. It's a Slot A, and they don't make those anymore, but still I got it because it was cheap. They stopped making the Slot A's, and they started making the Socket A's. But anyways, I had a Slot A. That really doesn't matter much. I'm just telling the folks. And I got a motherboard. And the motherboard, I tried to install it, right?
Mm.
And I just run into a lot of errors and a lot of I couldn't get it to work. And I still haven't been able to get it to work. So I put in my old motherboard CPU, and here I am.
So that's it?
That's about it. There's a lot of details, but I don't know if you want to know about those.
Oh, sure, why not?
Okay, let me think. What was the first problem I had? Okay, this is a major problem. After I installed my motherboard and CPU, I put in my Windows 98 boot disk, right?
Mm-hmm.
I got to put something on there, and I, you know, usually use Windows 98. Yes, I use Windows 98. Okay, and I put it in, and I go to start computer with CD-ROM, you know, support.
Yeah.
And it just freezes. You know, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
It won't do anything else. It just freezes when it tries to do that. And that's the main problem that I can't get past, you know.
Now, what were you telling me about your CD-ROM?
Huh?
What were you saying about your CD-ROM?
It won't. Apparently, there's something. I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with it. You know, it won't. The device driver for my CD-ROM drive won't load
mm-hmm.
for some reason.
And I told you, like, it might be the IDEs, and you can't even check that because you can't even get into Windows.
Right.
Because you can't even load Windows.
Right. I've tried a lot of stuff. It's been 2 days, but I've had to give up on it for the time being.
All right, so now, maybe I missed this. Is this a computer you're building?
It's my computer. I was just upgrading it.
Ah, okay. So you were trying to upgrade and it didn't come out so well.
No, it didn't. Didn't come out too well at all. Because it didn't work. I still have my old 300 megahertz CPU in there.
Yeah. But that works fine.
Yeah, the 300 megahertz works fine, and I have a 500 megahertz, but I think it has some heat issues because it gives me errors sometimes. So I took it out. Tired of dealing with it.
Yeah, because you've been telling me how you've been trying all these different things. Like, you had to get a fan first, so you got that. Then you put in your new motherboard, and that didn't work. And so now you're back down to 300.
Back down to 300 megahertz. Pretty sad.
Well, that's a shame. I'm dealing with mic trouble, so.
Yeah, I'd rather have your mic trouble over my motherboard trouble.
Yeah, but. I mean, I can understand that, but for me, having any type of trouble that affects the show is not good.
That's not good at all.
You know, I mean, this is what we do, you know what I'm saying?
This sounds weird to me. You know, you don't sound like normal. I don't know what it is, but, you know, that other microphone was just, like, the perfect microphone. You know, you changed it, and you sound different.
How do I sound different to you, though?
I don't know. I can't explain. You just sound different.
Do I sound closer? Louder?
I don't know, and it's really quiet, dude.
It's really quiet, dude. Well, what do you mean?
I don't know what I mean.
I think you should lay off the drugs, Dash. They're not good for you.
I don't do drugs.
Well, it shouldn't be affecting you unless you're talking about the stream, because right now the only difference is that the listeners are hearing something different, but you and me, it's just speakerphone.
Well, I don't know that. I guess you are sounding the same. I don't know.
Okay. Hey, 2600. They won their first ever lawsuit.
Yeah, that's good news. That's really good news.
Yeah, the Ford Motor Company. Now, here was the deal with 2600. 2600 made a website fgeneralmotors.com. We don't use that nasty language on this program.
Fuckgeneralmotors.com?
That would be the one. And they pointed it to Ford.com. Now, here's Ford's logic. Ford says, well, wait a minute. If people type in fgeneralmotors.com and get redirected to Ford, they're going to think, Ford put this up. Now, we know that any whois query will just bring back the true registrant, which would be 2600.
Right.
But apparently Ford doesn't see it that way, and they actually took 2600 to court, saying that you cannot redirect to us, you can't link to us. They started saying all sorts of things about copyright infringement and all sorts of stuff. But fortunately, for like the first time ever, the court actually decided to go with the side of 2600 and say that no, there are no violations here. I mean, you can get the whole court documents. I'm looking up at the wrong mic here. I should be talking down.
Yeah, talk down.
I'm talking down, Nidesh.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
You can go to 2600.com and find all the information about the case there. But the judge basically said that Ford had no claims. He used some precedents, some former cases that were based around the same thing, and the same type of cases, and he basically threw it out. He said that I can understand that Ford is a little upset with 2600 for putting this this link to them, or this redirect rather, but that's just what the internet is. You can't stop that. And typing the name Ford.com into your HTML to make a link isn't the same thing as copyright infringement, because, well, you just type in the name. So that was good. Now, do you realize what could have happened if they lost that lawsuit?
I can imagine.
Yeah, it would basically mean that Ford can go against all of their competitors. Anybody out there who says that Ford sucks and puts up a website about it,
they can sue them.
Anybody who links to Ford.com, you know, people that they don't like, they can go after them and they could win, saying, hey, well, you did it for this one site, now do it for this one. And then all of a sudden, Ford's pretty much gotten rid of their competition as far as the online world goes.
Yeah, so it's a really good thing that 2600 won this one.
But it doesn't just end there. I mean, then it can go on to people all around the world saying, well, look at this. He's making a site that's criticizing mine and linking to me, or whatever, you know. And then the whole internet is based on links and redirects. And
we talked about this like a couple weeks ago with some other online company.
Oh yeah, the guys that didn't want people linking to them.
Yeah.
And we were saying how it could be a big conspiracy to get people to link to them.
It is a big conspiracy, but they're not suing anybody over doing it.
Not that I know of. If they did, I'm not sure. I can't even remember the story that well, but I know it dealt with, you know, this one company saying that you can't link to us. Unfortunately, in this case, the judge decided that that's what the internet's all about, and if you did prevent someone from linking to you, that would destroy the entire internet. Then all of a sudden, Yahoo has to get permission before linking to a site.
Yeah.
And that's a search engine. Then Google would have to do it. Everybody would have to do it. We couldn't have links. If we were redesigning our site and I pointed us to 2600.com, 2600 could go after me. Not saying they would, but theoretically they could go after me and say, no, now give us $3,000 because you pointed your site to ours. And that would just lead to massive chaos, even more so than the chaos caused by this little microphone here.
Yeah, that one microphone is causing some pretty big chaos.
Well, we've faced hard times before, Dash. We've had
we've
had redirection problems that happened on Christmas Day. Some people couldn't get through to the special site that we put up, but we got through it. A lot of people saw it. And everything turned out okay, and since we're on that subject, I guess we could say that Equal Access has finally been released.
Yeah, Equal Access is here.
Yeah, so for more information on that, we don't want to, you know, spend the whole show making a commercial. Just go over to hackermind.net and click on the Equal Access link, and that's what people who visited hackermind.net on Christmas Day saw.
Hopefully.
Hopefully, yeah, if their DNSs weren't being a pain in the ass. And, as you know, some people's some people's DNS certainly were.
Scratching that off the old notebook there.
Yeah. See, I hope the people at home can hear that.
I heard that, yeah.
You heard that. Of course you heard that. You're right here.
I know, I'm just saying.
I could go across the room and you would hear me, but...
You didn't hear it, though.
But the microphone, you know... See, the speakerphone's got like 30,000 little holes in it, but the microphone has 3.
I usually didn't hear that.
You usually didn't hear what?
You scratched the fucking...
Oh, well, yeah, that's... I'm so close now.
Yeah.
See, Dash? Scratching.
Yeah, I hear.
Scratching. The notebook likes scratching. He can take it. He's a tough guy.
I see.
All right, now, you see, here was the original intent for tonight's show, and I would like to still do it because I told a lot of people that I would.
I would. What is it?
Okay, now, this is going to take some work here, but let's try to get through this. Originally, what I wanted to do on this show was play just a sampling of I don't want to say a hacker, a phone freak conference from way back in the day, I believe the early 70s, and I wanted to play not the whole thing. It's 20 minutes. I don't want to sit there for 20 minutes just listening to that. But
right, yeah.
To celebrate the release of Equal Access, the Journal for Modern Phone Freaks. I wanted to give people a sampling of what an old phone freak conference would have been like, but in order to do that, I'm going to have to move the microphone. Now, Dash, where should I put the microphone, first of all?
Gee, I don't know.
All right,
I don't know your room very well.
Well, don't worry about that. Just worry about where should I put it on the computer.
Oh, I don't know.
All right, let's see here. Let me... put up the volume on the computer. Now, I'm going to... All right, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put the microphone right onto the speaker. So, if people get deafened by this... Sorry! All right. Now, Dash, stick around, and if this works...
Where am I going?
Well, I don't know where you're going, but if this works, I hope you enjoy. If it doesn't, we'll try it again some other time. If that's feasible. Now, Dash, don't even bother saying anything because the microphone's way far away from you. I'm trying to stay with it here.
Oh, cool. Nobody can hear me?
Well, I didn't say that, Dash. But...
Oh, okay.
All right. Now, okay, folks, again, we're experimenting here, so I hope this works.
Now, I'm going to tell you right now, this is a crazy tape. This is a tape of a conference that occurred in June of 1971 and then again in December of 1971. It contains recordings of some of the phone freaks from the original gang described in the Esquire article. But because of the conference's location, there are also ordinary people calling into it by accident. The freaks in this segment are me.
Oh, we can ring their phones if they cross bar one.
Bill from New York.
I dialed 763 official 90. That didn't answer.
And Denny from San Jose.
I don't have the number of the test board. You have to get the number of the test board so they can call a card.
The Esquire article had a character named Randy who was based on Denny.
Didn't answer, huh?
Yeah,
just
tried it.
Miami guy.
Yeah.
He just did a 17-year-old girl.
Hello?
Miami guy 17 and just did a 17-year-old girl. Yeah, so are you and I, you sound like you're 10.
Yeah.
No, not you, the other guy that... Wait, who's 17? I think he mixed up to him.
The missing room was...
Hey, where are you?
Yeah.
Is that
you? Yeah.
Something now. Sorry, you're a motherfucker.
So what's going on here? Well, there are four groups of people on this line, each with a different agenda. First of all, there's Dave Bell and myself. We are 14 years old. We have just been introduced to the Phone Freak Clan as of about 2 months ago. By the way, Dave recorded most of these tapes, and I recorded some of this. Anyway, Dave and I are having a great time because we have discovered that on this conference we have the ability to find out the telephone number of certain of the callers to the conference. And the way this happens, I'll explain in a little bit. But this is 1971, about 20 years before caller ID. So the idea that you could get someone's number within a minute of their calling into a conference like this, when they aren't even making a direct connection to you to trace, is truly mind-boggling. And so Dave Bell and I are busy doing that. We're tracing numbers right and left. Meanwhile, Bill, from New York, wants to fill the conference up with the phone freaks, and so he's trying to get different phone freaks on the line. And now that some of the freaks know where Bill is hanging out, they, instead of calling Bill's mother's telephone number, they just call into the conference and say, "Hey, Bill, are you there?" So that's what Bill's up to. Also, there are people who used to use a conference which I had started 2 months ago and which ended in late April 1971, and they are now discovering this line and calling into it and trying to make dates and stuff. And then finally, there are the people who stumble into it accidentally, who are just trying to figure out what the hell is going on. And that's who's who in the zoo, and a zoo it is.
Hey, Bill!
Who is this, man? Who are you on the phone? Please pick up the number. Come on, just be a friend.
Okay, so that is an old-fashioned, well, I don't know about old-fashioned because, you know, you still get morons on the line today, but that was a phone-free conference call from the mid-70s, early 70s, something like that. And, Dashy, are you there?
I'm here, bud. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, well, there's about 20 more minutes of that. And if you're interested in that sort of thing, well, aside from ordering equal access, commercial plug, muhahaha, anyway, You can go to www.wideweb.com/phone trips. And from there, you can download all sorts of phone trips. No, not treks.
Phone trip.
Yes. You know, some people in the chat are just going, oh, man, phone trek. You're going to do a phone. Not yet.
Right, let me look in there and see if somebody's doing that. No, I'll see.
And they will. Wait till they hear it.
Oh, yeah.
Then they will.
Okay.
Then they will. They're, you know, for them, the lag is so bad, they're just, that whole phone thing is just starting now.
Yeah, that's just starting for them. They gotta wait through all that to hear this. All
right, now, see, now you're super loud again. I gotta move the mic.
Yeah, turn me down.
Yeah, no, you know, who needs you, right?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Now it's back in the center. Oh, this is so gonna change by next week.
Yeah.
I will get that old mic working.
Doesn't really affect me much, so I don't really care.
No, I know, but... Oh, playing that thing just gave me a nice reason to stretch my back. All right. Now, you know, Dash, I always wait till the last minute to get to you. What do you have for us?
Yeah, you usually do wait till the last minute, don't you? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, well, I have something here about... Have you heard the latest about Kevin Mitnick?
Yes, I have.
You did?
Yes, I have. He hosts a radio show.
No, not that.
They made a movie about him called Takedown.
No, not about that, but you did have a chance to watch that, didn't you?
Yeah, we'll get into that in just a little bit.
Okay. Well, I have something here about Kevin Mitnick, everyone's favorite, you know, most wanted hacker. It says, U.S. to gank Kevin Mitnick's radio license.
Huh. They're taking his radio license.
Yeah. In a 5-page order released Friday, the U.S. Federal Communications Commission claims that 38-year-old convicted hacker Kevin Mitnick is not morally fit to be a ham radio operator.
Morally fit?
Yeah.
He's not more... All right, explain this to all of us.
Mr. Mitnick's criminal background raises a substantial and material question of fact as to whether he possesses the requisite character qualifications to be and remain a commission licensee, the FCC said. Given his propensity to engage in criminal activities, particularly those involving fraud, we have serious reservations about Mr. Mitnick's ability to comply with our rules and regulations in the future. What's more, the FCC reminds us, Mr. Mitnick's prolific and damaging hacking career made him the most wanted computer criminal in United States history. Yeah, we all need to be reminded of that again. Mitnick was convicted of hacking-related felonies and was released from prison in January of 2001. He's still on probation until 2003. Mitnick's had a ham radio license for about 25 years, and he applied 2 years ago for what's normally a routine renewal. He's not accused of making any illicit radio transmissions or any offenses that fall under the FCC's jurisdiction. It's just that official Washington firmly believes computer hacking must be an unforgivable sin. Under FCC regulations, Mitnick's loss of his license is probable, but not automatic. A hearing will be scheduled at some to-be-determined date before an FCC administrative law judge, who, no surprise, typically sides with the bureaucrats. Appeals go to the full commission and from there to the federal courts. It's just another example of them trying to harass me, Mitnick said Friday evening. Now we have to spend money to keep a ham license. How ridiculous. Obviously, I'm going to have to fight for my right to be licensed, said Mitnick, who uses his ham radio every day. If Mitnick doesn't respond in 20 days, he automatically loses.
So he would have been better off killing somebody.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because then he would have been able to keep his license at least.
Yeah. There's a bit more to this, but that's basically it.
And so the only reason that they want to yank his license is because they don't like him?
I think, yeah.
I mean...
That's all they have, you know. It's because he got... That's no reason to take somebody's license away.
I mean, have you ever, you know, like Double Jeopardy, you can't screw somebody over for the same thing twice. He got screwed over, believe me.
Yeah.
It's behind him now. He hasn't done that in a long time, believe me. If he did do something, the FBI would know about it. They're all over him like white on rice in the middle of a snowstorm and a glass of milk on a paper plate, whatever that thing is.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So, he hasn't done anything, but wait a minute. I got a question for you, Dash. What brings this up now? I mean, couldn't they have said... I know he's coming up for his renewal or something like that, but couldn't they have said once he got out, no, you can't have one?
Hang on. It says something about that right here.
the prosecutor who put him behind bars. Hang on. Let me find it. It's up here somewhere. Just hang on.
Hi, people in the chat.
Okay, just hang on.
We're hanging.
Alright, good.
That was a hanging sound.
Well, talk to the people while I'm looking for this.
Oh, that I can do very easily. Let's see here. Oh, I got some cool stuff that I want to try calling in just a little bit. It's going to be some really messed up recordings.
Federal law requires amateur radio enthusiasts to obtain a license from the government. Mendick has a general class license that required him to pass a 5 words per minute Morse code test. You want to know his call sign?
What's his call sign?
N6NHG.
N6NHG.
Yeah. This action against Mendick doesn't affect his dark side of the internet radio show, which aired on KFI AM 640.
I was just thinking that. I thought when you said they pulled his radio license that that's what you were talking about.
No, it's his ham license.
So he could still broadcast, alright, just not two-way.
Yeah, it doesn't affect his radio show. The FCC, but it's, you know, it's gone now.
So he can't have a home phone either. It's the same thing.
Yeah, pretty much. The FCC believes it can do pretty much whatever it wants to Mendick thanks to an enormously favorable D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals ruling last year. The judges said that the FCC could rescind the license of an amateur radio operator convicted of calling long distance for free via fake access codes, a felony. There's nothing unreasonable about the FCC's conclusion.
Yes, there is. Well, what does one have to do with the other? I jaywalked the other day. Do I lose my right to use a computer?
There's nothing unreasonable about the FCC's conclusion that Herbert Schoenblum...
Ooh.
Schoenblum's felony conviction was relevant to his license renewal. A conviction for fraudulent conduct plainly calls into question the licensee's ability to act in a manner consistent with FCC regulations. The panel of judges ruled 3-0. Fortunately for Mendick, there's still a way to fight back. He can confess that, yes, he was a famous felonious knave, I guess that's what that is, who's completely has changed his ways. The agency's own police policy regarding character qualifications and broadcast licensing admits that rehabilitation is a mitigating factor. Mendick insists he's cured. I was called to testify before Congress on federal computer security, and now they're questioning my character. Noting that he even spent 2 days briefing the U.S. Commission on National Security. The prosecutor who put him behind bars thinks otherwise. Christopher Painter, now Deputy Chief of Justice Department's Computer Crime Section, that's not good, said earlier this month that Mendick is still an unrepentant wretch. That's not very nice at all.
No.
After running into his former courtroom adversary at the National Press Club, Painter said, "My problem with Mendick these days is that he's never really accepted responsibility for his conduct. I hope he gets his life together, and I bear him no ill will. But I think if you don't accept responsibility and you glamorize hacking and you get attention based on your former exploits, that sends the wrong message to people." That was on December 6th. 5 days later, the FCC decided to take action against Mendick.
All right, so he's basically mad at Mendick because Mendick was glamorized?
Yeah, and it wasn't even his fault that he was glamorized.
You know, they made a movie about him, too.
Yeah.
Is that his fault? He didn't want it made.
Books written on him that, you know, he didn't authorize or he didn't write himself, you know?
Yeah, the only one that he authorized was the Fugitive Game. Tell him that one again. That's a good one. Gotta pimp that one out.
So, he's blaming him for glamorizing his hacking days when he didn't even do that.
Well, I think Mr. John Markoff...
That guy sucks.
...is the one that glamorized him. I mean, if the media makes a spectacle out of me, am I responsible? Because, you know, they wanna. no, they don't. So, apparently now...
They need to get off the man's back already.
Hey, you're sounding like a track on the Hackers Interrupted CD, available January 1st. I'm telling you, man, HackerMind has just turned into one big commercial entity. We're just going to take over the world. Oh, wait, we're doing the show.
Yeah, we'll discuss that later.
Yeah, later on. Later on, it's world domination.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so I want to try calling some cool things.
All right, what do you want to call?
All right, well, I'll
tell you something real quick before you call.
I'll dial them. What's that?
I was telling you about my computer problems earlier, right?
Oh, you most certainly were.
I told you all about that. Now listen, I called up the people who make my motherboard.
Yeah.
It's FIC, First International Computer, I don't know, something like that.
Think.
Yeah. I called them up, and every single time, I called the tech support, every single time, all I got was fucking voicemail. Every single time.
What was their number?
Well, it's a message, like, 10 o'clock this morning. I haven't gotten a call back all day.
All right, what's their number?
All right. Let me think. You want it?
Yeah.
It's 510-252.
510?
Yeah. Don't ask me.
252?
252-7777.
510. Where's 510? Where is that?
I don't know. Where is 510?
It's not like freaking Canada. I don't know.
I'll look it up.
I don't have that little program I made. The area code converter.
I don't have it handy either.
Well. Alright, let's see here. Let's see. Alright. Oh, this sucks. Putting the mic back onto the phone. There we go. Alright. Oh, don't. I put it over the flash button.
There you go.
This. Okay. This should do it. Move it this way. There we go. Alright, now first up, Dash, are you typing?
I'm looking for where that area code is.
Are you typing?
I'm typing, yes.
You're talking? Do you know how rude that is?
Oh, I didn't know that. I wasn't aware that that was rude.
Alright, I'm gonna three-way over, and I'm gonna, oh man, this is a weird carrier ID, okay? Now, let me explain what I'm gonna do first.
Yeah,
10-10-8, shut up, Dash. I'm trying to talk here. I'm trying to entertain the people. Why don't you give me a break?
I know what you're trying to do.
1-800-555-4141. And that 700 number is used to identify what carrier access code you're using. We've done this plenty of times before. All right, now I'm going to flash over. Dash goes bye-bye. 833-1700-555-4141. What the hell is that?
What is that? It's like some Twilight Zone.
And right back to that.
What is that? Well, Screamer, what is that?
Alright, Dash, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Well, from what I can tell, that's a broken intercept message.
Really?
Or a broken long-distance ID, anyway. When you dial 1-700-555-4141, as we've done many times in this show, you get to hear who your long-distance carrier is. And obviously, if you put a carrier access code before that, you get to hear that carrier's identification. Now, for that, I dial 1010-833 and then the 700 number.
Gives you that.
Yeah, and it should be... It should say that it's PTI, the same people as 101-6868, but instead, it just gives us a broken message. And I guess that's a broken message. If it's something else, I don't know what it is. But what's really weird about that is that it rings halfway through.
Yeah. That is pretty weird.
You call it up, you get the noise, it rings, and then it just goes right back to that. So, I'm not sure. Now, when I had tried 1010-8330 to see what operator I would get, I got nothing but silence. Now, when a phone tree gets silence, for anybody who's ordering Equal Access, you're soon going to learn this. Sorry to be a commercial, but it's true. You're soon going to learn that silence is golden in more ways than one, because silence could possibly mean a vacant line that more than one person can call, or possibly a loop line. Now, I've never encountered a loop line at a carrier access code's operator.
Yeah.
But there have been cases such as the famous conference call up in Vancouver, where if you called Vancouver's information And I think if you used a silver box tone, you can actually drop out of the operator and into some weird conference call, and you can talk to other people who did the same thing. Now, first, let's see what we get. We might get silence, we might get an answer.
Welcome to BTI. Please enter the long distance number you wish to call.
Welcome to BTI.
The number you have dialed is not valid. Please hang up and try your call again.
Okay, well, why would they want me to hang up and try my call again? Couldn't they just say, just enter it again?
No.
Why do they make things difficult, Dash?
They have to.
Yeah, it's because of you.
They go out of there.
It's you.
Me?
Yeah.
What did I do?
You're on the phone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sorry about that. My bad.
All right, moving the microphone again. Moving the microphone.
Please stop moving that microphone.
No, I can't. I have to adjust it, otherwise people get mad.
Yeah.
They're getting mad anyway, but... All right, so... To learn about that and other interesting things... Well,
you need to stop with the...
I've never been a part of a commercial before. It's kind of fun.
No, it's not.
That's why they put them on TV. I get it now.
Commercials aren't fun.
How about them Miss Cleo commercials, huh?
Unless they're for something cool, so, yeah. Miss Cleo is like Satan incognito, but we won't get into that.
Okay, so we have PTI, I think that's who it was, at 1010-833. Why sometimes they work and sometimes they don't, I don't know. But you know what? I'm gonna critique. I'm going to critique now.
Critique? Takedown?
Takedown, yeah. I saw a takedown. Now, Dash, why don't you quickly, briefly, remind people what you thought about it.
I told people last week what I thought about it. You want me to tell them again, just quickly?
Just quickly sum up what you said for those that didn't listen last
week. Let's see if I can put this in one sentence. It's a good fiction movie.
It's a good fiction movie.
Yeah.
But it's not fiction. It's based on a true story.
It's based on... But none of that, almost none of that really happened.
Okay, so you liked it as a movie.
I liked it as a movie, yes. Not as an accurate portrayal of actual events.
Okay, see, first of all, I admit that there were a couple very funny scenes. I loved, even though this was, you know, I seriously doubt Mitnick went through all the trouble of turning off someone's power and stuff. But hey, it could have happened. This one scene where the FBI agent comes into his house and he has no gas, no water, and then all of a sudden his lights go out and you just hear him mumble, "Little fucker."
Yeah.
That was the funniest scene I have seen in a long time. Other than that, I really couldn't enjoy it as a movie or as a portrayal of Kevin, because when I watch a movie, I have to be rooting for something. I have to be... You know, I have to not have something already against it. And when I watch Takedown, all I see is Shimomura. I see executive produced by Tsutomu Shimomura. So I know that this is all based on a book that Shimomura wrote with Markov to make a buck off of someone that was in prison for 5 years.
Yeah, that there is that. It's always in the back of your mind.
Yeah, and that's why...
That's why you can't enjoy it, right?
Yeah, that's exactly why I can't enjoy it. Now, you enjoyed it as a movie.
It's not like I love this movie, you know, it's the best. You know, I know how Shimomura did, you know, how he profited off other people's misfortunes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't like that at all. You know, the guy is an asshole. But it was, I'm just saying, for a movie, it was all right.
And, you know, for me, actually, to be honest with you, I was kind of bored through most of it because... I don't know, I just thought it could have been, if they were going to make something like that, first off, get rid of Shimomura having anything to do with it. If you don't have Kevin working on it too, then get rid of it.
Hey, was that him in there? Did you see him?
No, I didn't. Where was it?
It was him in there. Much, you know.
At what scene? I still have it.
Well, it's in like two scenes, like briefly.
Two scenes briefly. Can you describe the scenes? I might be able to remember.
One scene, when Shimomura's at that, he's standing at a podium or something, he's at some kind of thing.
where he's demonstrating the cell phone, how we turn into a scanner?
No, later on, when right before he says.
Oh, where what was his name was in the background making fun of him.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're saying that Shimomura was sitting in that audience?
He was like, yeah, he was like right next to the guy who was talking.
Oh, I'm not
also,
sure.
He was in a scene earlier in Shimomura's job, at his job place, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, it probably was. What the hell was that?
What was that?
I don't know. Did you move the microphone or something?
No. I moved the phone, but just, like, barely.
I think that's what it was.
What did it sound like?
Well, I probably shouldn't go into that. All right, so, takedown. I couldn't get into it. I couldn't enjoy it. I couldn't sit there and know that this was all against Kevin, you know. And you say it wasn't, and maybe know that the film didn't go completely against Kevin, but the whole purpose of it was.
That's the reason why I think it's all right, because it didn't go against Kevin. It didn't really, you couldn't really find out who to root for, you know.
Yeah, but then again, it also, you know, it shows Kevin as being this completely anti-woman person. He calls his mother a bitch.
That is pretty weird.
You know, he can't make out with a girl. He has to ask her if she's ever scanned. You know, and the last scene you have of him is of him screaming his head off, "You motherfucker!" You know, it's just...
That was pretty weird.
The last scene is him going crazy.
The last scene is not of that. With Mitnick it is, yeah. The last scene of Mitnick, yeah.
What do you mean?
I mean, I'm talking about the last scene in the movie, the very last scene.
Yeah.
The last scene in the movie is Shimomura at the ATM.
Yeah, I know, but like you said, the last scene with Mitnick
is
him going crazy. And the last scene with Shimomura or whatever, is him seeing the free Kevin sign on the ATM.
Yeah, I like that. I kind of like the end, you know, where he asks him, you know, why am I in here and you're not, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I just thought it was all right.
Yeah, that was an attempt to show them, you know, to show Mitnick's point. But then, of course, they just resort to Shimomura saying, "Well, look at this huge phone bill you gave somebody," and then you know Kevin's like, "Well, yeah, I didn't do it, but I'm not going to tell you who did, you motherfucker." You know, so that to me sounds like the movie know damn well who they were rooting for.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
And then Shimomura walks away going, "He's there because I put him there."
I thought he said that in a way like he wasn't proud of it.
No, it didn't sound that way to me.
Well, I don't know. Who knows?
Let's ask Russell Wong what he was trying to do.
Yeah, let's ask him. Let's call him up. You got his number?
Yes, I do, but I don't feel good about giving that out over the air.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll talk to him later.
Yeah, we'll just, you know, you know what we should do?
What?
I say we just let's ask Shimomura to be on the show.
You want to?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's try to get him let's try to get in touch with him.
All right, let's do it.
I'm a little scared though.
Why?
I don't know.
What after you? Peyton, you know, get John Markoff to write a story about you.
Actually, that'd be pretty cool. Well, never mind. All righty. Let's just move on in the last closing minutes here. You know, Now, I don't want to read the whole article here, but this is pretty funny. A joke recently spread through the internet posits that Bill Gates and the president of General Motors had an exchange comparing technology development in their respective fields. According to the joke, Bill Gates says, "If GM had kept up with technology like the computer industry has, we would all be driving $25 cars with that got 1,000 miles per gallon." The president of GM responds by stating that a computer industry built car would have to be replaced every time the lines in the road were repainted, would work only for one person unless you bought an upgrade and additional seats, and would crash twice a day for no reason.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't know. That was a whole article that they have written up, but I just thought that part was really the only thing that was quite newsworthy.
Yeah, that was newsworthy right there.
Some other articles that I have here that I'm not going to get into because they were just basically filler. They were talking about, here's one that comes from BBC News. It's talking about how Brazil actually has like the most hackers in the world. And
wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and it talks about Andre Fuchs. I'll resist the temptation to pronounce that name any other way, who is now 23 years old, was once a hacker. He now advises one of Brazil's biggest banks on computer security. And a quote of his is, "Defacement is a macho joke. When you break a computer, you have to understand how it works, and you learn," he told BBC Click Online. I think now I can think like a hacker. You just can't talk. Since I was breaking a lot of computer networks in Brazil, I can guess how these guys are thinking. Once again, another computer hacker goes over to the other side and decides to start tracking computer hackers.
One more computer hacker.
Or, to quote the great Russell Long in Takedown, "I'm a hacker. Mitnick's a cracker. Big difference."
Hey, I want to mention this real quick. I have an article here. I'm just going to give you a brief summary.
Alrighty.
Microsoft felt the need to go after Windows.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
You know what Windows is?
Yeah.
The Linux distribution that runs Windows applications.
Yeah, and they're suing them for copyright infringement, right? For Windows, sounds like Windows.
Yeah, trademark infringement, yeah. They wanted to settle out of court.
Now, that is absolutely ridiculous. If you make something that's similar to something else, you're screwed. You know, you can't even make it similar. I don't know.
Why couldn't Microsoft just... What is their problem?
What's their problem? Well, they're Microsoft.
Do they not have enough money? They have to go after every little guy, you know?
Well, they especially want to go after Linux, right?
Yeah, apparently.
I mean, because Linux is pretty much the only thing out there that can be called... competition.
Windows, you know, it has, that's a appropriate name, I think. A Linux, Windows, you know.
Yeah, well...
Windows does not automatically mean Windows, the operating system.
You know, ironically, if friggin' Microsoft took Windows from Apple Computer, oh yes, I've seen Pirates of Silicon Valley.
Yeah, that movie was... yeah.
Movie was what?
It was
cool.
Kind of boring.
No, it was good. It was good. You just, you know, you had to think that, so it might have been a little hard for you.
Oh, okay, yeah.
A little difficult. You know how it is.
Yeah. I hate you.
Yeah, I know you do.
I'm not gonna take this abuse anymore.
What are you gonna do? That's what I thought.
I'm gonna do something.
You know what? I think I told you about this. I called up Vartex operators.
Yeah, that's great.
Now, you know, they're not Vartex operators.
Oh, they're not.
They're NOS.
Yes, they are.
NOS operators are not Vartex, but you know what?
What?
They share the same carrier access code.
Yes, they do.
They share 1010-811.
What's your point?
Dash, I can hang up on you right now.
Wait, come on, what's your point? Get to the point, man.
The point is... Okay, I'll turn you back up. The point is...
Just turn me down.
No. I would never do such a thing. When you call NOS... All right, screw it. All right, no. I won't say it because Dash doesn't want to hear it. Dash don't want to hear about it.
Hey.
He don't want to hear about how you used to be able to make free calls, but you just can't anymore.
Right. I'm going to... Yeah.
So, folks, you know, I would have told you about that, but...
Hey, don't blame it on me.
Oh, no, blame it on Dash.
Don't blame it on me.
I would go after Dash personally if I were you.
Email Screamer and tell him that what he did just now was messed up.
Well, you know, I was going to tell him, but now, you know what? You're making people order the magazine because you want to sell more, Dash.
Oh, I'm not the one.
You won't let me tell people something for free. No, no, I see how this is.
Oh, no.
I see how this is.
Well, I'm not... No. I'm not doing that.
The bottom line is that... NOS can't give you the same discount as Vartex.
Why not? Okay.
They're not Vartex, but...
Yeah, but I thought you said they were Vartex.
Well, they share the same carrier access code, yes, but they're not Vartex. I got through to an operator once, and she said to me that I'm not Vartex, so if I completed this call for you, I couldn't give you their same low rates, and I'd have to charge you a surcharge. And she didn't say what that was, but knowing AT&T, they charge $3, so...
Yeah.
It'll probably be very similar.
Yeah.
But, she didn't ask me for what number I was calling from when I three-wayed to her, so that could be an indication that free calls can no longer be made through there.
Or maybe she just didn't get your number and she didn't ask you for it.
That's always a possibility.
See, you have to research these things. You have to find out more information before you come back to the show with all these theories, you know.
Yeah, because I'm the one that always has the theories.
Man, you need to lay off the theories for a while.
Yeah, I do. I do. But you know what, Dash? We're out of time.
Yeah,
so
yeah, we are. Yeah.
I'm gonna go try to fix this microphone.
You do that.
And I'm going to turn you down, and I'm going to end the show because, you know, the microphone has to go over here now.
Oh, so now the people can't hear me? Oh, okay. That's the audio.
Okay, folks, just ignore him. He knows not what he does. He's still talking, by the way. He doesn't realize that I have the volume down. But this is, see, listen.
Why am I even, oh, man.
See, that would be Dash Interrupt still talking. But, folks, we'll see you next week. And until then, this is Screamer Chaotix for the silent Dash Interrupt saying, break the system and, don't see takedown. Ignore what Dash says. Okay. He's still going, by the way. Bye-bye.
Just a minute.